Talk Radio.
Now, yesterday there was a cartoon on the front page of the Daily Telegraph, and it's a tester at a COVID-19 test centre which is now closed. And a driver who's come in to be tested, it's being explained to him that it's much simpler now. The government predicts what your test results would have been. This, of course, is a reference to the algorithm, which means that A-level results were predicted by where you lived, how your school had done previously, and just a little bit about what your teachers thought you were going to get. But I thought what we'd do today is discuss, first of all, what exactly is an algorithm? Jen Person is coordinator of Defend a Digital Me, which campaigns for children's privacy rights and improved transparency in policy and practice with regard to the National Pupil Database. So she knows all about algorithms. What exactly, Jen, good morning to you. What exactly is an algorithm?
Good morning. Well, in effect, it's much simpler than it sounds. It's trying to give a set of instructions, if you like, what you want a computer to do after humans have made a decision of what it should do. So it's the recipe, if you like, for how we translate what people want a computer to work out for us. And often that can be a series of instructions that are converted into maths. And then that maths is the recipe, if you like, for how a computer works out what should or shouldn't be done with different pieces of data, different pieces of information that you feed into the computer. And based on the algorithm, the recipe, the instructions that are you've given it, it then gives you the output, the answers.
So the person who actually is deciding how the computer goes about an algorithm is extraordinarily important. So if, for example, you put in the result, the kind of projected results, let's talk about A-levels now. So if you talk about and you say, I need it to be put in about what the teacher's predictions are and various other things. That is where, for example, we've got this disparity, this terrible situation where people who live in poorer areas are just getting downgraded. The system disadvantages those pupils from poorer backgrounds. So if they'd actually put it the other way, they could have done something to change that. That's what I'm trying, rather long-winded way of saying, could they have changed that?
Absolutely. So an algorithm does not, in this type of set of instructions that we're talking about for A-levels, does not do things by itself. You can have, this is what's called a sort of a narrow type of algorithm. And it's basically taking anything that the people behind the scenes that have determined how it works and making the data run through that system. And so anything that the people decide is important or is less important gets weighted in the decision making by the computer. And this is where the unintended consequences can come in. So even if Ofqual and the exam boards have done their very best to make this a fair system, if they have not thought about some of those factors that are very important in deciding, for example, they didn't put postcode in as a factor, but because privately educated children in centres that have a particular postcode and children who go to centres, so certain schools who have other postcodes, would be factors that would go into the decision making, it comes out as if people in certain postcodes would be better advantaged than others. So it's not intentional, but it's something that has to be thought about in the design of the system. And it looks like, even though it was tested this year for socioeconomic disadvantage, so poverty, it didn't take enough account of it because the small cohorts, so small groups of students that were entered, were given more weight to their teacher-assessed grades, because they didn't have lots and lots of data about a big group of students to put in. So if, for example, private schools have small groups of class entries, it would have naturally, even if unintentionally, weighted in their favour.
So I guess the key thing here is that it's as good as the quality of data and input and what's being asked of it by the person setting the parameters for it. What I was going to ask is that presumably they get quite a quick and early read of what the output is based on those parameters. So, you know, we saw once this came out very quickly tables showing sort of how the different, socioeconomic groups have been marked up or down. Presumably those running this would have had an output very quickly that they could have reviewed and tweaked the algorithm to rerun it if it was already showing them those sorts of insights.
Yes, and this is the surprising thing, and I think shocking for some people, is that it seems that when this was tested, that whatever the outcomes were going to be would have been apparent and deemed to be acceptable. And so you at that point say have to ask what and who was accountable for those human decisions at the point when they said, yes, we realize there's going to be, for example, you know, a greater increase of A and A stars in fee paying institutions this year. And by contrast, you know, comprehensives will only see a lower rise in those good grades. But we think that's acceptable. And who made that decision and where does that accountability sit is as important as how does the computer make those decisions.
And in terms of those decisions, obviously we're aware of how much of an impact this has on pupils. What do you see as being the right way of addressing that for people? Or is, in the world of algorithms and perhaps not enough transparency there, that there is only so much that can be done?
It's absolutely important that things are transparent. And what's, I think, really surprising is that ourselves as a civil society organisation and the Royal Statistical Society in April already had offered experts in statistics to analyse the algorithm in advance confidentially. But Ofqual had asked of them an excessive gagging clause that they couldn't then talk about what they'd found back in April. And we had offered in June to explore it for them confidentially, but they didn't take up those offers. And so it means that now, instead of having been able to sort those problems out in advance, possibly, we're seeing them impact real lives and real children. And the problem is that Ofqual is really designed to protect the system. They're designed to protect what they see as exam integrity and results year on year. But for individual children this year, they're not being allowed at the moment, for example, to appeal on academic grounds. And we think that needs changed. A child, a young person needs to be able to appeal through their school. They can't appeal individually, but they can appeal through their centre that submitted them for the exam, that they were just unfairly treated.
So they are saying, the government is saying that people can appeal and they can appeal for free, which is one good thing. And the second thing is, we've got the GCSEs coming out on Thursday. How difficult would it be to quickly sort out an algorithm? Is that just such a massive thing?
There's two things. I think one is the appeals can only happen right now for A-levels based on maladministration or malpractice. So students and schools can't decide, we just think they got the wrong result. They still can't do that. So government said, yes, they can make appeals for free, but still only on the same grounds. And so if you just decide that if the centre says, we think that the algorithm treated us unfairly, they're not allowed to appeal. So that needs fixed for A-levels. And it's exactly the same problem that's going to come up for GCSEs. And even more importantly, I think in the algorithm there, what's really going to, I think, flummox some people is that the whole cohort's results, so the whole group of students that was entered for that exam, is going to have data input, for example, as far back as key stage 2 primary school tests that they sat at age 10. Now, that happens every year. That's reference data that goes in every year to this algorithm, not just this year. And I think we need to not only be fixing this algorithm now very quickly, but also asking Ofqual to open up their algorithm for moderation that they use every year, and let's look at the data that's going in and seeing if it's fit for purpose at all.
Is there any risk of a transparent algorithm, or an algorithm being made transparent, then being in some way gamed by schools that are savvy to the right sort of inputs to make sure that they give their pupils a slightly extra advantageous position?
The decision-making processes in the algorithm was only published on the day of the results for that reason. That's what Ofqual said. Now, that doesn't prevent them from having expert advice given to them ahead of time. And I think that's the difference. They should have accepted that. So schools will, of course, manage their exam result inputs and, you know, candidates and put forward children with the best possible chances. That's what every teacher wants for every child. But, you know, how those different pieces of information go into the system are completely opaque to them right now. They can't see, you know, what information about me as an individual helped make that decision. And so something we for example, we want Ofqual to produce is a single report for each child that a school could print out. They could have a template and it would input, you know, the school would be able to enter the different pieces of information that the exam board has put in the system and be able to print out then a report that says to the child, this is how this information was used in order to produce your result. And they can't do that right now. It's inexplicable.
Problem is, of course, Jen, just that algorithms are now with us, aren't they, forever? I mean, it's just a computer thing. It's, you know, you've got reports of people left penniless because of the unfairness of universal credit. This is, I mean, algorithms are everywhere, aren't they? That's the point.
Absolutely. And it's partly because but we also have to remember it's particular to England and especially in the UK right now that some of these are very opaque and not well understood. Our government has decided to use a lot of these in the public sector. And for example, a recent report came out in January from the Turing Institute and What Works Centre and said one of these algorithms is dangerous and not fit for purpose to be used in children's social care. And it was unethical and shouldn't be being used. But nothing's happened. So government, we want to actually undertake an audit of all these algorithms that are being used across the public sector because it's a human decision. It's a choice. And we don't have to accept that these things influence our lives like they do.
Jen, thank you very much. Jen Person, coordinator of Defend Digital Me, campaigning for children's privacy rights and improved transparency in policy and practice with regard to the National Pupil Database. What is coming up in the next hour? Well, we've got Luke Stephen, who's looking through the lighter side of life in the newspapers. Very briefly, Luke, what have you got for us?
So I've got for you psychics having a real ball. We've got that coming up later on.
Excellent. I'm liking that. I'm imagining that they've ditched crystal balls and they've gone on to footballs, have they? We shall find out later on. Thank you very much. Also, we're looking at Brexit. Is it true that it could be blue cheese, which has scuppered our deal with Japan? And what about New Zealand, claiming it's frustrated by the pace of our talks and whether we're up to snuff? We've got vaccines, the Russian claims about this COVID vaccine called the Sputnik vaccine. We've got butterflies, large blue butterflies being reintroduced and doing terribly well. And in the final hour of the show, we're looking at nutrition filming's back on, and also we've got an actual film, Burning Man Art on Fire. We're going to talk to the director about that. It's a community of artists who bring their massive installations and sculptures to the punishing Nevada desert and then burn some of them. And we're ending with some music, singer-songwriter Jess Young, and it's her latest single. It's called Holding On and Letting Go, and it's being produced by a Platinum Award-winning producer. All of those stories after the 8 o'clock news.
Talk Radio.